Welcome to The Download here on WGN, 720 WGN and WGNradio.com. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is no stranger to The Download or to Chicago theater-going audiences. Frank Maugre is a longtime performance artist and curator, used to run the Red Moon Theater here in town, also worked at Chicago's Children's Theater. But it's his new project that's turning heads. It's called Cabinet of Curiosity, and it blends performance with puppetry, live music, and community involvement. The new production running at the Chopin Theater is called Tabletop Tragedies. It was a hit for the Chicago International Puppet Theater Festival last month, so it continues through the 17th of February. The production features a tremendous lineup of talented artists and musicians, including Liz Chittister from Firebrand Theater, who is with us today with her guitar. Liz, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Frank Maugre back in studio. Good to see you, Frank.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
You have talked last time you were on. We talked about Cabinet of Curiosity as an idea. You said it's coming up. This is something. So Now it is in full bloom. You're doing shows around it. Tell us a little bit about what you're trying to accomplish with Cabinet of Curiosity.
So the real mission of Cabinet is to create a collective of artists who are like-minded and are excited about creating work that has something to do with the investigation of the divine. And that can take many, many different shapes. And sometimes we work in a professional format with artists like Liz and writers like Seth Boakley, who are generating a new work for the stage. Sometimes I create what I call a ritual apprentice opportunity, where I work with community members to define a new work that has some kind of ritual ceremonial framework to it that exists either on stage or in public spaces. So both of those are in action now, and they're kind of finding themselves.
And I would assume multidisciplinary, meaning there's
always multidisciplinary. So it's masks and objects and devices and images and music poetry, performance.
Yeah, I just love it. And I love that the Tabletop Tragedies, and congrats on the success of the
Thank
show.
You.
But you guys are not, when you think of a puppet show or even any sort of show that might be community-involved performance art, the topics that you are taking on don't necessarily match up. When you're talking about spirituality or you're talking about death, you're talking about loss, all these things together, they don't always go hand in hand with the art form of puppetry. But what you've done is you've combined those things. So talk about why you do that. Why investigate those deep, dark, really moving topics through the ways that you do it?
Well, I think there's two things. One, I would disagree with you that puppetry and ritual or puppetry and ceremony are not companions. I think they're ancient companions, in fact, and that they live together as one medium, that often the puppeteer, the puppetry director, thinks of the objects as sacred and performs with them as sacred items that are operating as symbols for the audience to interpret for themselves. So it really is a form that is for most
spoken
makers,
like a true puppeteer.
Let's hope so. So that's part A. And part B is, as you know, and we talked about on the show, I became ill a couple years ago, and I really stepped into looking at what I had achieved and what I wanted to do with my life. And I made a distinct choice that I wanted to make work that really operated as a way for people to think about their lives and what is a brief experience on this planet and how they can be good people, better people, different people. So the divine, the study of the divine, really is an opportunity to think about reflection. And Tabletop Tragedies is a great example of that. It's a very delightful show. It's surprising. It's funny. It's entertaining. It's wild. It's unexpected. But there's also moments that are deeply reflective and provide the audience an opportunity to think about their own existence.
Would you say more so than some of the works in your past? I mean, has your battle that you had, that you talked about, your public about, did it change your perspective on art?
It's changing my artistic style. It's made me much more significant collaborator. It's permitted me to listen differently. It's enhanced my sense of humility as a maker. And it has made me more confident about the kinds of work that I want to generate into the world. Work that won't necessarily maybe be critically acclaimed because it's not story driven. It's more about watching a poem evolve in front of you, which requires a certain kind of way of viewing. But it's not story necessarily. It's not a beginning, middle, and an end. It's not characters with conflicts and resolutions necessarily. It's more of a dream that the audience gets to interpret for themselves, which is why the themes of hope, death, life, rebirth, redemption are so central, is because these are universal experiences that we all have, and I'm trying to open a door for people to experience those as if they were dreaming of them, and they can walk away with a different conclusion that's meaningful to them individually.
Let's bring Liz in here. Liz, you're a part of a musician, as you mentioned, Firebrand Theater, but you are part of Tabletop Tragedies. What brought you to this project?
A couple of years ago, Frank and Seth reached out to me. I had met Frank briefly, like maybe a couple months before, because he was interviewing me for a position at Chicago Children's Theater as well. And they sent me lyrics and they sent me photographs of the puppets they were going to use for a particular story, for the Billy the Kid story. And I was automatically super drawn to the project just based on that. And I heard music in Seth's lyrics pretty immediately and sent an idea over like maybe that same day. So it was kind of serendipitous or as we're kind of exploring fateful in a good way.
That's interesting. Great way to interpret fate and faith. We were just talking about some of the ways that Cabinet of Curiosity is taking on these different topics. How did they resonate with you? I mean, as an artist, are you looking to explore issues like death and loss and on the flip side, hope and survival?
Absolutely. Even things that have been going on, and I won't get into deep into my personal life, that have been going on during us creating the show have been, it's been nice to come to the theater and sort of investigate them together with people, almost therapeutic, to create something out of loss. I'm definitely drawn to devised work. I did a lot of devised work in college and had sort of steered away from it probably for the past decade. And it's been nice to come back to a room full of people that are listening to each other and really generous and trusting of each other. It's been a really beautiful experience for me.
Well, Liz, you brought your guitar. So let's play some music. What are we going to hear here? What is the song that you're going to play for us?
This song is called Silver City, and it's at the end of the Billy the Kid puppet show. It's from the voice of his mother speaking.
Okay, here is Liz Chittister, a song from Tabletop Tragedies here on The Download. Take it away.
Thank you. hope you get a second chance. I hope we get a second chance.
Ooh. Oh, that's amazing. Liz Chittister on the guitar, singing from the song Tabletop Tragedies in the show that's at the Chopin Theater running through the 17th. Liz, thank you so much. That
thank
was
you.
Great. Frank, listening to the music, but also listening to what Liz said about, you know, in her life, having, you know, loss, and that's something that accompanies all of us, but the ability to come in and collaborate with people and share her experience with everybody and improve upon that, that's special. That's something that is a lot of times you don't, you know, it's not front facing. It's not just to the audience. It has to do with the ensemble. And a lot of this work that you're doing is therapeutic, not just for the audience, but for people who are doing it.
It's an exciting topic. And, you know, part of what I've been thinking about a lot, especially after the conclusion of Red Moon, is why make art? What else could I do? Is it really important to me? And I had to struggle through some weighty questions and my own personal investigation. And I came to the point of, I really need to make art. I want to make art. I have certain skills, but I want to research these things because they're important for the people I work with, and they're important for the audience. And I don't want to miss out on that, and I don't want the world to miss out on that. And the piece that I would add to that is collaboration's really hard, and people use the word loosely, in my opinion.
Right.
But we're developing a model where the best idea wins, and the whole group gets to fuel the outcome of the production, and everyone's responsible to the creation of the piece, which is complicated and challenging, but really exciting and creates a sense of authorship and ownership that's undeniable. And that's really exciting for me as someone who, when I went through the list of things that were important to me when Red Moon was gone, mentorship and leadership were primary. And I really felt like, how do I breathe these in my life in a way that affects others in a significant and authentic way?
How many years has it been since Red Moon went under?
I don't, three to four
years? I'm sorry,
I'm not sure.
No, because I hear you talking about this stuff, and yeah, obviously you're continuing the tradition of this with puppetry and performance art. But I'm as ignorant just for what is in my life. But I feel like there hasn't been a movement to step up and replace Red Moon. Is this it?
My intention was never to replace Red Moon. My intention was to create a new culture with a new aesthetic and a new mission. And I don't think of ritual or spirituality having been necessarily integral to what that institution was. And I'm really excited about a kind of highly collaborative, conversational culture that's developing the work together. That's different too.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, my interest is not to get to where Red Moon was. Part of what has happened for me the past few years is I've been seeing myself make different work, make it not only in a different way, but it looks very different. And it has some DNA left over from Red Moon. It should. I was there for 25 years and drove a large part of the aesthetic and made significant shows and was, you know, one of the central people to what it looked like and what it felt like. But I've taken the pieces that are important to me, and I'm generating something that, importantly, is intimate. You know, I left that theater thinking, I want to do the opposite. And the opposite, in part, is what could intimate spectacle be? What can I create experiences for smaller groups of audience that have even greater spiritual heart impact? And I think that's what I'm doing.
Well, the street performance aspect of it, and even the community aspect of it, even at the later years of Red Moon with the space that you had in Pilsen, but even before that in the Logan Square parades and the way there felt like the idea of puppetry or street performance art was almost part and parcel with Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really felt like it was authentic to mm-hmm. Chicago. With you and with Blair and others who are continuing new projects and doing mm-hmm. different things, you are continuing that tradition. Is there a younger generation that is doing what
Red Moon did? It's a great question, and it's an exciting question to me because, you know, there's many different forms, right? Manual Cinema is a terrific group who began their experience of the overhead projector working with me on the Astronaut's Birthday at the Museum of Contemporary Art. And they became excited about that medium, and they took it home. Like, they did things with it that no one was doing with it, and that's an offshoot. And there's a number of other kind of what I think of as results of Red Moon's legacy that exist in the world. You know, my hope is that this next generation question is one that I think about with my board all the time. Is I've developed a model now that's called the Ritual Apprenticeship, and I'm creating a curriculum and a style of thinking about and approaching young people with the question of what is ritual, what is ceremony, and what's important to you that needs to be generated in the world that has elements and attributes of exchange and conversation and transformation. And I hope that I will be a part of creating that next generation of people who think about public space and think about indoor work in a way that can incorporate the divine and the sacred in a way that's not pedantic, but is still meaningful.
There's something great, Liz, about all of the different talent that come together for Cabinet of Curiosity for this specific show. Is that important to you as an artist to have a mature artist collaborative or collaboration, if you will, to be part of your artistic life?
Absolutely. I really think that that's what makes Chicago so special, is that we are able to come together as a community and create something, whereas I think other artistic communities don't necessarily have that energy to them. It feels very individualistic. And to also not only like celebrate my fellow artists, like kind of geek out watching them be amazing, but to listen and to make something with them. That was something, you know, for like the first show, like Brandon Moorhead came in with some music, and Mike Steele and I just were kind of playing around with some of his ideas and just to like do things on the fly like that. I mean, that was so special.
Yeah,
same thing with like Time Bricky and in our last story, The Simple Soul. He's one of my favorite artists in the city who everybody should know about as well. I just feel really lucky. This is such a wonderful group. And Nicole Lorenzi and Elise Torres, I just love them so much.
Well, it is a great group. The show Tabletop Tragedies runs through the 17th of February at the Chopin Theater in Wicker Park. It came out of a strong hit show at the Puppet Theater Festival that just happened. Frank Maugre, my guest, he is the man behind Cabinet of Curiosity, which is putting on this show, and also Liz Chittister, who brought her guitar. And thank you so much to both of you, and good luck with the Cabinet of Curiosity. We'll talk.
Let me say that Liz and the Lovelies, her band, has a show on Valentine's Day that I expect to be astounding. So if people want to make it to, where is it?
Shubas,
they should.
All right, there you go. Frank, always plugging. I like it.
Thank you.
I want to help people.
Thanks, guys.